We share your stories because it's important, right? Yeah. So there's a couple of reasons. One, it shows you the cool rescues that you're doing, and they are. Some of them are extreme. Yeah. It also highlights the plight of animals in South Africa in different genres. You just spoke about the owls being one of the most persecuted birds in Africa.
Yeah.
But there's other animals as well that you pour your heart and soul into to.
Yeah, we have a lot of what we call problem animals.
This is Good Things with Brent Lindekew. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I believe there is good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. On this podcast, proudly brought to you by BetterBond, you'll meet these incredible South Africans. Welcome back to another episode of Good Things with myself, Brent Lindekew, the Good Things guy. I'm excited! And my assistant actually just mocked me. I saw that in the background. She was like, I'm excited. I saw that. I'm excited because I have an incredible South African who's in studio with me today. He could possibly very well be one of South Africa's best, biggest, most popular wildlife savers, volunteers. I don't know which group to put you in, but Brendan Murray from the Owl Rescue Center has joined me today, and I am excited to have you here. You're an absolute legend, and what you're doing for South African animals is just phenomenal. Thank you for coming into studio.
How's it, Brendan? Thanks for having me.
It's so great. Brendan, I need to start at the beginning.
Yes.
Because I sometimes feel like animal welfare is not something that you decide to do. Sometimes you're born into it or you fall into it. So where do you sort of stand on that?
I think it was a bit of both.
Yeah.
I started when I was very small. I started rescuing animals when I was in standard 7. I went a year earlier. So I was 12 years old.
Okay.
13. I was turning 13 that year. Yeah. I started 13. I started rescuing birds. Yeah. And then I stayed in a little place called Halfway House. It's not so little anymore.
Yeah.
But when it was still a little dorpy.
Halfway House, is it Midrand now?
Yeah, it's Midrand. It's changed a lot.
Yeah, I remember. There used to be restaurants and whatnot in that area.
There used to be one or two. There used to be the Halfway House Hotel and what they called the Buffers, which was a train restaurant.
The train restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
And my
yeah.
father took me to that when I was very, very young.
Yeah.
It was traumatic for me because they served all sorts of crazy animals
and
whatever. But I remember that Halfway House being the name.
Yeah, it was a nice little village as a kid to grow up in. And then everybody knew that this lighty is fetching and rehabbing birds. And then that's where it started, yeah. So.
And how then did it become, because it is your career now. This is what you do full time. How did you, I think it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost
20 years, yeah. Yeah.
Our Rescue Center was formulated.
That we started, yeah. Yeah, we just saw that there was a gap for rescues. There was no rescues. There was a couple of rehab centers in existence, but there was nobody going out and actually doing the rescues of the animals.
Specifically, sorry, for owls or for birds? Because it's called Owl Rescue Center, right?
Yeah, we just thought, well, what name are we going to go for? And we thought, let's just stick with one animal, and owls being the most persecuted animal in Africa, we thought, well, let's concentrate on that one. And then over the years, it's just turned into all wildlife. So now we just rescue everything that needs to be rescued, John.
So I'm sure a lot of our viewers and our listeners will know that already because we see you on social media.
Yeah, you guys share all our cool stuff.
We do. we share your stories because it's important, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of reasons. One, it shows you the cool rescues that you're doing, and they are. Some of them are extreme.
Yeah.
It also highlights the plight of animals in South Africa in different genres. You just spoke about the owls being one of the most persecuted birds in Africa.
Yeah.
But there's other animals as well that you pour your heart and soul into.
We have a lot of what we call problem animals. It's not a problem for us, but it's a problem for other people. So, you know, it's the jackals, the baboons, the monkeys, the dassies, porcupines, those kind of animals that become a bit problematic if they because of the issues that they cause. Yeah. Not for us. We just go out there and we rescue and then relocate them to a safe spot. Yeah.
That was what I wanted to ask next.
Yeah.
Is what do you do with them once you've got them? Do you have land where you sort of keep them and rehabilitate them until you can move them somewhere?
So for every species, we've got a pre-approved release site for them, yeah. So for instance, if we catch a caracal, because farmers don't want caracals, there are nature reserves that do want caracal because they don't have any. That goes the same for serval. A lot of the farmers catch serval. They put out these predator traps, and then they'd rather contact us and say, listen, we've caught a serval, we don't want him. And you actually do want several on your property because they take care of all your vermin. Yeah. But a lot of guys say, we just don't want to take the chance. And then, yeah, there's a lot of guys that do want several. There's a lot of farmers that farm with crops and they've got vermin. So they've got, you know, they've got rats and mice in that. And several are brilliant at hunting rats and mice. So they'll go, to, we'll release them there. Yeah. So there's always a spot that somebody...
There's a plan. And I'm sure after almost 2 decades, that network is now set up and you can sort of...
Yeah, no, we're never short of release sites. And I get that call every day. Listen, we've got a farm over here. If you ever have something, please come and release. So we just put it on a database.
Yep.
And we're ever in the area and we just got to do a quick, fast release and go, we're bringing this to you.
Brendan, what is one of the craziest rescues that you've ever had to do? Because, I mean, as you sat down,
yeah,
you were like, is there any dirt on me? Because I was just in a climbing...
This has been an extremely busy January. I was just trying to tell you, we're ready on our 200th rescue for January for the year, which is crazy busy, yeah. So, yeah, no, it's I don't...
Well, we don't mind. I was hoping there was going to be a feather or something.
I tried to stay clean as well. I could for the day, yeah.
But like, yeah. What was one of the craziest that you've had to do?
Sure, Brent. Another one we did a couple of weeks ago, which was that baboon in the Northern Cape, when somebody phoned and said they saw a baboon tied to a tree.
Yeah.
And we got the call, I think it was 6 days later after they saw the baboon. And they said, probably not alive anymore. It's probably dead. And I thought, but nobody's gone to check that. No, it's just in the middle of Northern Cape on a farm there. Somebody just tied a baboon to a tree and just left it. So that night, I was actually in bed and was like, must be about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm just sitting there. My wife says, you can't sleep. I go, I can't sleep. She says, just get in your car and go. So I was like, okay, we're going to go look for this baboon. And yeah, we found the little...
We reported on it, but I watched the videos.
Yeah.
And it was very intense.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to... You were on a property? Can I say that?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Okay,
so you
went into the property.
No, we do. I don't...
I'm not trying to get you into trouble. No. So you went into the property.
Yeah.
You went searching for this baboon. You had no idea if it was alive or dead or if it even was there. It could have just been a sighting.
Yeah.
And when you found it, it was absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, they tied it to a tree and there was no food or water.
And it was little.
It was little. There was a bowl there that maybe originally had water in, but it had rained a couple of days before, so he obviously got a bit of rainwater, but he hadn't eaten anything for 7 days, yeah. And he was only 3 months old. Yeah,
he was a little guy.
A tiny tot, yeah.
Yeah. And then you gave... I mean, you first put him in a cage, I think, just so you could move him.
Yeah, he was... Normally I would sit with them for a few minutes and gain their trust, and then they would come and they would cling to you. But... it wasn't somebody else's property, so... What they're saying, get out of Dodge, eh?
Get out of Dodge.
So I just loaded him and then took him home and then...
And then at home, and then, we saw
yeah,
that
and we didn't video. Get it on video, unfortunately. Danel was half asleep. But when I opened the carrier that he was in, he was sitting at the back, and he was looking. And then he looked at me for about maybe 4 or 5 seconds, and then he just sprinted out there, and he just jumped on me. That's how quick it was.
So. You were his helper.
No, that's how baby baboons are. They realize this is my chance. If I love this cigar, this is my best chance of survival. And they all do it. They're all baby
for
baboons.
For real?
Yeah, no, they will do it, John.
And then I also saw, so you fed him, and you sort of... Is he released now?
Or
is
No. He goes into a troop now. So he went up to Prime Crew, to a Prime and Rehab Center. Mm-hmm. And then they rear them. They'll put them with adults. Slowly they'll introduce them to adults. So they'll build up a troop, 30, 40, 50 individuals. And then they'll find a suitable release site to release that troop. Yeah. And then they'll monitor the troop for a few months to make sure they're doing it fine. But they do find that, yeah. They're just... It is difficult to find release sites for troops of baboons.
I could imagine. So, yeah. I could imagine. Yeah. Did anything happen to the people that tied that baboon to the tree? Or is that...
Whoa, don't go anywhere. This is just a 10-second ad. This episode was proudly brought to you by Better Bond, turning good things into home things. Because owning a home should feel like good news. And Better Bond is good news. Plus, they're just a really lacquer brand to partner with. That's it. Ad over. Back to the potty.
No, we don't. We don't. That's one thing that we don't do. We don't follow up on the persecution of well, no, persecution is not the right word. What's the prosecution? Sorry, not persecution. Yeah. But maybe it's similar. Prosecution. We stay clear of that. So we just can't rescue animals. And there are organizations that will prosecute in that. We leave it for them. But we don't get involved in that at all. I just don't have the time to sit in court. But there are organizations that do that. But it makes me... I can sleep at night with both eyes closed. Although I don't want to be watching my back to see who's... You know, who's out to get you. Yeah.
And I mean, we all watch those videos with pride and we share them. And obviously, as a publication, we write about them.
Yeah.
But as social media users, as I started the show, I said, you've become very popular.
Yes.
That people know of the Rescue Center.
Yeah.
And they know of the work you do. But does that sort of culminate into donations? Because that's ultimately is how the organization survives, right?
Yeah, it actually does. It was one of those things. Years ago, I remember sitting in a meeting with a few rehab centers. It must have been maybe 14, 15 years ago. And one of the things they said to me, they said, you're making a mistake. They said, you're putting yourself as the face of the organization. They said, you shouldn't do that. You should just build the organization on the face. And I said, I don't know. I feel that it translates into more help if people can identify with me.
If they see that human.
They see, yeah. And then they said no. And then now, like I said, 15 years after that, and every year gets better. We get more donations every single year. Our donation count goes up. This last year, when we started, I think our first like proper donation came in after 4 years. We were operating for 4 years before somebody donated $1,000 to us. Every now and again, people give 100. So our whole organization for 4 years was funded by ourselves. So we made owl boxes till they came out of our ears, and we installed owl boxes, and that's how we funded the rescues. Whereas last year, we actually got to 50% of our overheads were covered by pure donations. Just people donating $100, $200, $300, yeah. But you get thousands of those, and yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can tell everybody, but yeah, our donation bill was 1.2 million rand for last year, you know, so that was our donations, yeah, which is huge for us. Yeah. So this year, we're going to try to get to 60%, and then hopefully within the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to get to 100%. And that's where, you know, that's
it makes
what you
my heart
to.
Smile.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah.
But to know that South Africans are putting their money where their mouths are.
Yeah.
And they are helping someone who's doing so much good for South African wildlife.
Yeah, I know. A big thank you to all the people that donate. And like I said, it's not huge. It's not big amounts. Every now and again, you'll get a 10 grand or something. It's the small amounts. Those 50 and 100 rands, it's, and a lot of them, yeah. You wake up in the morning and you look at your accounts, and overnight, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 rand came in, you know. And you can go. Then you can fly to Cape Town and go rescue whatever, and you can, yeah, so it's it works.
You just said fly to Cape Town, and I need to ask you about the plane situation, because don't you also fly to rescues yourself?
Yeah, so we got a little bush plane that we fly, that I fly myself. I don't fly to Cape Town like by myself. Yeah. I'll try and get Semi is one of our sponsors. They sponsor any of the big the far flights. Yeah. So if it's sort of like not more than 800 k's, then I'll fly myself and go fetch and thing. So we use the tracking dog. So Flash comes with me. So a lot of those rescues are for tracking purposes.
Yes.
So we'll fly out and go track an injured animal and then, you know, get him help. If it's what I call shoebox cases, we don't fly for shoebox cases. So a shoebox case is, I've got a bird in a shoebox and they found, because we can use couriers for that, yeah. So we don't waste the time or all the funds for that. But if it needs to be rescued, or if an owl's stuck in a tower, or if there's something, you know, trapped somewhere that nobody else can get to, then we'll fly out for those kind of rescues, yeah.
The owl situation, obviously you're still called Owl Rescue Center, but you're doing all sorts of animals. That's still a huge problem in South Africa, or Africa, right? Is that owls are persecuted because of the law behind what people believe an owl comes from, or what it brings.
Yeah.
For me, different culture. I was brought up, if you see an owl, it's incredibly lucky. They're going to get rid of the rats in your garden. It's going to be whatever.
Yeah.
But some people might not see it that way. And so a lot of owls are murdered.
Yeah, there's cultural beliefs, which is passed down from generation to generation. But in the last 20 years, you can see how that's dropping now, you know. Whereas before, people would just kill the owls. Whereas now they would say, listen, I'm not happy about the owls being here. I don't want to kill them. And I heard that you guys can save, can you come and rescue them? So that's, you know, probably 70% of my days is rescuing owls. There's nothing wrong with them. They're healthy birds. They've got into a spot where people don't want them, and they just need to be relocated. You know?
And relocating owls, they'll stick to where you put them?
Yes and no, yeah. So you can't just go and release them somewhere, because they'll just fly back. Even if you took them to Bloemfontein, they'll just come straight back the next day. You've actually got to lock them up in a what we call a habitat enclosure. So it's sort of like a 1 hectare enclosure over the trees. We lock them up there for 6 weeks, and then you release them, yeah. And then they forgot where they come from. Yeah. Then they'll just find another spot to go and live, yeah. So that's all we can do with them, yeah.
I need to ask, because you've posted so often on social media, and we spoke about the baboon story now, which was a very interesting rescue. But and this is like asking, what is your favorite child? But what has been one of the most heartwarming rescues in your career?
Is the otter that we did, yeah. We do a few otters. We do quite a few otters, because they also problem animals, because people that breed fish have fish dams that attracts otters. And if you've ever rehabbed otter, it's probably the cutest. There's nothing cuter than an otter. And then a few years ago, we rescued an otter that was kept in captivity for 4.5 years. And they wanted to euthanize him. Nature Conservation actually wanted to euthanize him because they said, you can't rewild a tame otter. So of course we can. And we did. I took 6 months off. Spent 6 months with this little otter named Lazzie. And we rewilded him, yeah. And it was an amazing little guy. Yeah. He's so intelligent, yeah, yeah.
Ultimately, I mean, that's the goal, is getting these animals back into the wild.
Yeah, I mean, for a little guy, he's 4.5 years. I mean, they only lived till 12 years in the wild, you know. But, we took 6 months off, and then we tracked him for the next 2 years, and then eventually he found a mate and then had a family. So, yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
Just great work. I really am appreciative and grateful, and I'm sure many South Africans would back me, as they do, with all the fantastic...
Yeah. No, if it wasn't for the people that back us, I would be doing something else. Yeah. It's just because I've always told people, as long as you back what I do, then we can do it. Yeah. So, yeah, it just grows from strength to strength every year.
I need to throw a left-field question.
Yes.
I heard a rumor.
Yeah.
Do you live in a treehouse?
We do, yes. Yeah.
Yes! And that's what I heard. You live in a treehouse. Your house is a treehouse.
Yeah, we live in a treehouse. Yeah, we live in a marula tree, yeah. So we built the treehouse in this marula tree. It was all donated materials, yeah, that people donated to us. The only thing that we did buy was the electric points in that jar. So, yeah, we live in it's got everything. It's got a bed, it's got a couch, it's got a bath, we've got a little kitchen. So, yeah. No,
The reason that I heard you live in a treehouse is so that you could use the ground for rehabilitating animals. You needed more
It was also because we live in a remote area, and then just for the security as well. Okay. So we thought, well, if we're up there and we've got a fair amount of little canines that protect us.
Do they sleep up there with you?
They all sleep on the bed, yeah. We've got, I won't say how many, but there's a lot there. Yeah. So they're all up in the treehouse. They've all got their little spot. And like I said, we sleep with both eyes closed now. Yeah, so
I guess you don't sleep much because you're rescuing so many animals.
No, I try and get bed by midnight till 6. So that's like those 6 hours, just hopefully nobody finds him within that 6 hours. Yeah.
Brendan, you're a fascinating human being. And I've said time and time again in this interview that I'm very grateful and I'm in awe of what you do. And it's just lekker. So thank you from myself and all of South Africa. And thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for keeping on sharing all of your stories on social media. We love to see them.
Cool.
We love to see the rescues and we love to support you. So thank you so much.
Cool. Thanks, mate. Thank you, guys.
What an incredible...
Did it work? Did it work?
It did work. I'm just going to end it.
You're going to end it.
We're going to keep that in because it's so fantastic.
You're going to keep that.
What an amazing show, Brendan. What a fascinating human being who's doing so much good work for South Africa. Important work. Work that you should be following. Facebook page is Owl Rescue Center. They post a lot. He posts a lot. I think his team, his wife... I don't know who's part of the team, but they post a lot, and it's great to share and great to see what they're doing. Like I say, every week, I'm wishing you only good things. Okay, love you, bye. That's it. For more good news, visit www.goodthingsguide.com. Okay, love you, bye.